Welcome to The Local Take with Kiplin Primus on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. This weekly public affairs program features dialogue and community engagement with leaders and organizations making a difference in the areas we serve.
Good morning, good people. This week on The Local Take, we're talking diabetes with Tracy D. Brown, who is the president and CEO of the American Diabetes Association. She recently released a statement regarding the alarming rate of COVID-19 in the Black and Brown communities. Diabetes has been an underlying health challenge in those two communities for decades. She posits that the high rate of COVID-19 are there for the same reasons as the high rate of diabetes, mainly being access to quality health care, quality food, and good recreation. This is yet another systematic and institutional issue that needs to be addressed not only on a local level, but also at the national level. When you have, 10 to 20% of your population suffering from these chronic health diseases, it does put a drain on the entire system. So this really should be a concern for us all. Tracy Brown, I want to welcome you to The Local Take.
Kiplin, thank you so much for having me today.
Can we get started with the basics? Can you tell our listeners exactly, what is diabetes? Why are there different types? What are the different types? What is pre-diabetes? And recently, I think last year, there was a diabetes associated with Alzheimer's disease called type 3 diabetes. Can you give us the rundown? What is diabetes? And what do we need to know about it?
So, Kiplin, diabetes essentially is a chronic disease when your blood glucose, or what many call blood sugar, is too high. And I think everyone knows that blood glucose is the main source of energy for your body. Now, insulin is the hormone that is made by your pancreas that helps glucose get into your cells in your body to be used for energy. Now, what happens with diabetes is one of two things. Either your body does not make insulin, i.e., your pancreas does not make insulin. That is often referred to type 1 diabetes, which is an autoimmune disease, but your pancreas does not produce insulin, and therefore, without insulin, the blood glucose in your body, in your bloodstream, is high. The second thing that could happen is your body does produce insulin, but it may not produce enough insulin. Or you have insulin resistance, which means the insulin in your body is not as effective as it needs to be. In which case, the blood glucose or blood sugar in your body will be too high. And so, Kiplin, part of the issue with diabetes is some folks call it the silent killer. Why the silent killer is because you can be walking around with elevated blood sugars flowing through your blood and your body and not really realize it or know it, and then you will hit a complication like stroke or heart disease or kidney failure or your eyes. By the time you hit that complication, which causes you probably to go to the doctor, you've been walking around with elevated blood sugars for quite some time. Diabetes is certainly an epidemic in this country, and it was an epidemic before we stepped into this COVID-19 pandemic. It is truly a health crisis in this country.
Now, you mentioned that it's a health crisis in this country, but in the statement that you delivered, you talk about diabetes and COVID-19 impacting, you know, the Black and brown communities disparately. And you also speak about the health system needing to meet these communities where they are. And so, you know, when you put a drive up COVID testing center in a community and you have community members without cars, you aren't servicing that community. What else do you mean by meeting the community where it is?
Yes. So let me address a couple of things. One, you know, I talk about this being a health crisis. Why a health crisis? Because one out of two people in this country are living with diabetes or pre-diabetes. One out of two. Then when you look at the disproportionate number of people who are living with diabetes, you will see that they are people of color, and lower socioeconomic is another indicator. And so when you start to peel that onion back, you start to understand that the social determinants of health, i.e. where you live, your education, your wealth, all of these things play a factor in your getting diabetes and living with diabetes and potentially not managing your diabetes. So you add on top of diabetes, which was already an epidemic in this country, you add this COVID-19 pandemic. And what we see from the data is when you look at the people who are both affected and hospitalized with COVID-19 and or dying from COVID-19, they are people of color, siblings. So just to put some very startling statistics in place right now, if you look at Atlanta, 80% of the hospitalized COVID patients in Atlanta are African American, which, by the way, is disproportionately more than the population of African Americans in Atlanta. If you look at the population of Hispanics in Atlanta, it's about 9%, yet they represent 22% of the COVID-19 cases. We've got an epidemic layered on top of a pandemic that is disproportionately affecting people of color. So what do we have to do? There's a few things. When I talk about meeting people where they are for both diabetes and COVID-19, that means you have to actually get into these communities. And what we have been talking about with the American Diabetes Association is we've got to bring COVID-19 testing into these at-risk communities. And yes, you have testing that is out there today. But again, the data shows us and tells us that this testing is actually ending up in affluent neighborhoods and majority white neighborhoods. Two, as you mentioned, there are pop-up drive-through clinics. That's somewhat helpful. It's helpful if you actually have a car and can get to the drive-through clinic. The things that we need to talk about is there are trusted places in communities where you could be using those communities as testing sites. There are community health workers in these communities that could be taking education and testing door to door if need be. This is what we mean by bringing testing into the community, and we are fighting for this not only in the local level, but we led a charge with over 100 other organizations to get this word to Congress that we need to get this COVID-19 testing in the communities that need it.
This week on The Local Take, we're talking diabetes with Tracy D. Brown, who is the president and CEO of the American Diabetes Association. Tracy, I think these are gallant efforts, and I don't know if you have the answer to this question, but why has this inequity in our healthcare system been accepted by the healthcare community for so long? It seems like anything to address these challenges has been done in fits and starts, with nothing that has been put in place to make it better. And we've been talking about this, you know, not since the pandemic, but forever. I mean, the same disparities that existed in 1950 exist in 2020.
Yes, Kiplin, you have said, I don't know, you put the pin on the head here. This systematic racism, the health inequity that has existed in this country has been here for a very long time. And I think there are two portions to trying to solve this problem, Kiplin. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I have all the answers, but what I can tell you is there is work at the individual level, meaning there is a lot of bias out there today, some conscious and some unconscious. But unconscious bias is a very real thing. That is an individual thing that people need to deal with. It actually ties back to your slow-thinking brain versus your fast-thinking brain. And in order to get beyond the individual bias that people have, oftentimes you have to implement bias interrupters to get you to access your slow-thinking brain and not your fast-thinking brain. That's one half. The other half is these inequities are systemic, and they are built into our systems, our policies, our laws, our teaching and education. This is ingrained and ingrained. I mean, we are talking about going all the way back to the 1600s and slavery, and then the early 1600s with the colony of Virginia starting to separate all the way back in the 1600s based on color and your origin. And I can run down for you all of the systems that have actually been put in place. 1776, the Declaration of Independence. 1790, the first rule around granting national citizenship. All of these are early forms of inequity built into our system. I can keep running down to 1933, the Relief, Recovery, and Reform Act. $120 billion of loans, 98% of those loans went to non-diverse people, non-people of color. Let me take you up until today. 1990, you know, there was an immigration law passed discouraging employers from taking applications from Latinos and Asian Americans. I mean, I can go on and on. 2019, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, $840 billion went for schools, municipalities, infrastructure development. None of those things for people of color. So these ingrained systems have to be broken down. And why I think we haven't made as much progress is because these systems aren't easily broken down. You have to hit both the individual level, and then you have to start to dismantle many of these inequities. The American Diabetes Association, we are focusing on several of these dismantling processes. One is just around the cost of drugs and devices and supplies and health insurance, specifically for people of color. Two is around getting quality health care for people of color. color. Then you mentioned the food. In many communities, there isn't even access to healthier food. We've got food deserts everywhere. And then finally, I say this all the time. People outside of a system can't create the program or the solve to fix the problem for those in the system. Translation, if you don't really understand the community in which you are trying to develop solutions, if the folks in the community don't feel seen, heard, and understood, you will not get the right solve. So I don't have all the answers, but we need to start doing something very differently, and we need to do it fast.
Now, you mentioned not having all of the answers, but one of the things you talked about are the systems and cultures. So one thing that our communities are fighting against is the system. And I think another thing our community fights against is the culture. Because when you don't have good health literacy, sometimes even when a doctor tells you what you should do, for whatever reason, you know, the joke is drink some ginger ale, get some Vicks vapor rub, and you'll be fine. But as you mentioned, diabetes is a silent killer. Hypertension is a silent killer. And I've had conversations with people who swear they know their body. And I don't have to take my high blood pressure medicine anymore because I can tell when it's going up and I can adjust my, you know, all of these different things because they don't want to take a pill. How can we address kind of that cultural challenge that exists in our community for a lot of different reasons?
Yeah, and so, Kipling, you know, one of the things that we have done is when you think about diabetes, and by the way, I've been living with type 2 diabetes myself for 16 years, thriving for 16 years. Managing your diabetes is truly managing behavior. And when you think about what is required, we are talking about not only changing behavior at the individual level, but changing behavior within society. And you talk about culture, Kipling. We have used cultural data using artificial intelligence and machine learning, where we're digesting about 10,000 cultural signals every single day. And we're trying to look at culture through the lens of health, healthcare, and community. And so one of the biggest underlying things that must happen first is when you talk about changing behavior, you have to establish trust. When you talk about changing behavior, you actually have to establish an emotional connection because people feel before they think. One of the other cultural trends is this trend called distributed trust, meaning people will trust their family, their mother, their brother, their sister, their neighbor, their tribe way more today than they will trust anyone from the establishment, so to speak, your institutions, your government, your hospitals. And so that means we have to equip those in our community, Kipling, with the knowledge and the information to start to spread the awareness. Because there's trust built into our communities and those we spend time with, we have to become the mouthpiece in order to get people to start to not only receive the information, but then to change their own behavior.
So you mentioned changing your own behavior. When you speak about changing your own behavior, you said it before, you know, diabetes is about managing your own behavior. And we know that means exercising more, eating healthy. Why is this a habit that's hard for us to keep? And why is this a habit that's just hard for us to take a control of? You know, it's one of those things. I remember when a friend of mine right out of college was diagnosed with diabetes and was using insulin. And I was like, look, when you give yourself an insulin shot, you know, walk to the corner and back, start building in exercise. Why is that solution? It seems like a simple solution. Why is that solution so hard to take hold of?
Yeah, I wish, again, I wish I had a good answer for this one, Kiplin. What I will tell you is, just like a lot of things, we have to establish the habit, right? We have to break old mental models. And one of the things that we know is, again, another cultural trend is just people want things to be easier, a frictionless experience. I mean, eating healthier and even exercising. Again, the social determinants of health play in. If you are in a community where healthier foods are not easily accessible, and you got to go outside of your community or, you know, take a bus, get an Uber, get a whatever to get to a grocery store that has better options, that certainly then becomes a barrier or a hurdle. Perhaps you live in a neighborhood that you don't actually feel safe walking around. Okay, well then that means maybe you gotta go to a gym. Do you have the money to pay for a gym membership, or you have to drive outside of your community? All of those things are barriers, and in this today's world of wanting a frictionless, easier experience, those become hurdles. The other thing that I will say, as I am a firm believer, that if we can get tools and technology into the hands of people so they can see the impact immediately on their blood sugars, when they eat, when they exercise, when they sleep, how they manage their stress, these are the four things, Kiplin, that are critical to being able to thrive with diabetes. I started wearing a continuous glucose monitor that gave me real-time data and allowed me to see on an easy graph what was going on with my blood sugar. When I saw the huge spike in blood sugar based on things that, by the way, I might have thought were good for me, but if you're not actually looking at the carbohydrate content of what you're eating, it may not be good for you. But until I saw it, that was just a moment for me to help me get control over what I was eating, exercising, sleeping, and managing. And now I've worked myself off of insulin. I went on to 4 oral medications. I'm down to 1 oral medication, and Kiplin, I probably could get rid of that. I just checked my blood sugars just now. They're 80. That's the average of my blood sugars, which is the same level as someone without diabetes. So I think we got to break these mental models. I think we've got to figure out how to make some of these solutions and things easier. And more importantly, I think if we can get tools into the hands of people, it will help them feel more empowered of making different decisions.
Tracy, how can our listeners get more information about you and the goals of the American Diabetes Association? And what do you want our community to do?
So one, as it relates to information, I want to encourage people to either go to our website, diabetes.org. On that website, you will find all kinds of information. You will find information on pre-diabetes. You will find information on diabetes. If you're a newly diagnosed person with diabetes, things that you can do and things that you should know, or whether you're a veteran person like myself thriving with diabetes. Two, you can also call our call center, 1-800-DIABETES. You can get a lot of information, ask whatever questions you have about diabetes and the management of it. And then three, I will encourage people, you can follow me on social media at Type2CEO. At Type2CEO, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I try to live my life fully, above board, online for all to see, because I want more and more people to understand they can thrive while living with diabetes. Diabetes doesn't have to be a death sentence. Diabetes doesn't mean that you have to have a stroke or a kidney failure or lose a limb. And so I encourage everyone, and I want to encourage all your listeners, if you don't know your blood sugar or your A1C, please go get it. The next time you're at the doctor, ask for your A1C and blood sugar. Or the clinic, ask for your A1C or blood sugar. And I will tell you, during Walmart Wellness Days, you can get an A1C test for free. And at any time, you can walk up to the pharmacy and get your blood glucose or your blood sugar check for free.
Tracy, I want to thank you so much for what you're doing and what you've been able to share with our listeners today. And this is something, as you said, we can change our minds and change our lives. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Kipling, for having me.
The Local Take with Kipling Primus on Jazz 91.9 WCLK is produced by Kipling Primus, Jami Wellman, and Rob Maynard for WCLK. If you have comments about today's program or suggestions for future programs, you can leave a voicemail at 404-880-6211 or email kiplinprimus at gmail.com. You can listen to these interviews on demand at wclk.com or via the WCLK app. Thanks for listening.